So the reading is Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 35 until chapter 10, verse 15. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey, or extra shirt or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jess, thank you for reading God's word for us. There's lots for us to get into there, so please keep that in front of you on page 974, and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we hold in our hands your word to us today. By your Holy Spirit, please help us to know you better. Please strengthen and develop our faith in you. And please shape our lives so that we live faithfully as your servants. Amen. Well, 76 years ago today, on the 9th of January, 1958, Jim Elliot, a 28-year-old American, and four colleagues stood on a riverbank in Ecuador. They were waiting to meet a group of men from the Orca tribe, men who they had never met, but who they loved and they had been praying for. The Orcas were a ferocious tribe who were known to kill and murder any outsiders who they came across, and they were completely unreached with the good news of Jesus. I'm told that in their language, there wasn't even a word for God. And that is why these five men were there. Jim Elliot had turned down a comfortable job in America. He'd learnt the language, and he'd come to Ecuador to reach the Orcas with the message of Jesus. The men knew the risks. They started that day by singing that great hymn, "We rest on thee, our shield and our defender." And now at last, they'd made contact with the Orca people. But just hours later, a little downstream, their bodies were found. They'd been speared and hacked to death. Some must have thought, what a waste. But not Jim Elliot. He had famously written in his journal, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And nor was it a loss to world missions, because many more young men and women committed themselves to taking the message of Jesus overseas. And it was nor was it ultimately even a loss to the Orca people, because wonderfully the dead men's widows came back and they shared the gospel with them and were able to establish the Christian church amongst those people. An inspiring story. The mission work of Jim Elliot and then his wife Elizabeth. It's very inspiring. But if you're like me, perhaps you find it easy to be inspired by stories like that, but harder to be actively involved in actually sharing the message of Jesus with people around us. Perhaps when it comes to speaking to people at school or at work, we just don't know where to start. Or maybe we can't really see the need to speak to others of Christ. Or perhaps we've become discouraged sharing Jesus with those around us, let alone with the nations of the world. Well, today in our studies of Matthew's gospel, we come to one of the great sections of the New Testament on mission, on being sent by Jesus to make him known. See, in our reading, for the first time, Jesus sends his 12 apostles out on mission. Now, we'll see that there is much here which is specific to them then, to these particular people and that particular mission. But there is also a great deal that we can learn for the mission that Jesus has entrusted to all of God's people at the end of Matthew's gospel, our mission to go and make disciples of all nations. So we're going to see in this reading three simple points which will help us get going in making Jesus known and keep going in that great mission. And the first is this: mission flows from the compassion of Jesus. We'll look at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. This verse sums up what Jesus was doing at this point in his ministry. He was preaching the good news of the kingdom, the good news that God's promised kingdom had come, that because God's king had come, now it was possible for people to enter again under the loving rule and blessing of God. By nature, all of us are sinners, rebelling against God, rejecting his rule. But now Jesus has come, we can trust in him and be forgiven and enter again under God's loving rule. We can come into his kingdom. That is the message that Jesus was preaching around those towns and villages. And as he preached, we're told, he was also healing every disease and illness. Powerful miracles showing that he was God's king and also giving people a glimpse of what the kingdom would be like when it comes in all its fullness, when Jesus returns and at last suffering and sickness is at an end. Now, this ministry must have been very arduous, preaching and healing around all the towns and villages of Galilee. I bet Jesus' voice was hoarse and his feet were blistered and his back was stiff from all the care he was giving to people. But look at verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. The compassion of Jesus Christ is so impressive. It was never ending. We get worn out when we come across too many people in need. But not Jesus. Despite all of that, when he saw the crowd, well, he had compassion on them. His compassion never runs out, and his compassion was heartfelt. The word for compassion here in the original language comes from a word for your guts. You could say, when Jesus saw the crowds, he was gutted. His heart turned within him. Why? Well, verse 36. Because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Sure, you've read some of those heartbreaking stories of farm animals being attacked by wild predators. Imagine you're walking in the country and you come round the corner and you see a horrifying sight, a flock of sheep being attacked by wolves. The sheep bleat and they run, but there's nothing they can do, and the wolves pounce and they rip them apart. They are helpless, for there is no shepherd to defend them. And as Jesus looks at the crowds, that's what he saw. I'm sure there were plenty in the crowds who had top grades, well-paying jobs. I'm sure there were plenty who were happily married. plenty who were enjoying a comfortable retirement. But Jesus saw their spiritual need. He saw that they were enslaved by sin, just trapped by selfishness and pride and self-pity. He could see that the evil one had blinded them to the reality of God. He could see that they were helpless, separated from the living God and heading for judgment. And so he had compassion on them, because he could see that they needed him, the shepherd who saves his sheep. Well, when you see people who don't know Christ, how do you feel? Perhaps you see those crowds streaming into your school at the start of the day. Maybe those people blocking your way on the train on the way into London. How do you feel? It's easy to look at them and think, these people are fine as they are. Or maybe to feel frustrated at their lack of faith, or judgmental at their life decisions. But Jesus looks at those people and he sees their desperate spiritual need and he's gutted for them. If you're here this evening and you're not yet a Christian believer, that's the compassion Jesus has for you. For those of us who are Christians, this is how Jesus felt about you before you trusted in him. Compassion on your spiritual need. And actually, he has that same shepherd's care for you today. What we're learning is that mission starts with grasping the beautiful compassion of Jesus. So we realize how Jesus feels about the lost, how he feels about us. It actually changes us so that we share that compassion. When we see people, we see not how comfortable they are, how annoying they are, but that they're harassed and they're helpless and that they need Jesus Christ. Mission flows from the compassion of Jesus. And then next we see that mission starts with prayer. With prayer for God to raise up workers. Look at 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. There are, in one sense, many, many people who are just waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus and come to faith. The problem, Jesus says, is that the workers are few. There are so few people who are ready to lead others to Christ. I heard this week of one excellent theological college, one of the best vicar training factories in our country. And 20 years ago, they would have had 30 students in each year. Now, 4 students in each year. You know, workers are few. But it's not just people who are full-time teaching God's word. There are so few who are equipped in our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our families to speak of Jesus and lead others to him. The harvest is plentiful, says Jesus. The workers are few. So what should we do? Well, we think, I know, we must open a theological college or organize an evangelism training course. And of course, there's a place for those things. But it's not what Jesus tells us to do first. It's God who gives people compassion for the lost. It's God who equips people for mission. And so we must pray. Ask God to raise up workers for his harvest field. Have you ever seen in a Wild West film when there's a group of cowboys and they're about to ride out of town to arrest the bandits? And they're on their horses and they've got their hats and their guns. And then a church minister comes out and says rather pathetically, "What can I do? How can I help?" And the hero says, "Just pray, Padre, just pray." And off the heroes go. It's easy to think of prayer like that, isn't it? It's sort of the thing you do when you can't really do anything. But Jesus says, no, no, no. Prayer is the start of mission. This is such an answer to burnout and exhaustion. See, we just can't meet all the needs around us, can we? But we can pray that God will raise up workers for his harvest field. One of the chief measures of our spiritual health as a church and as individuals is the state of our prayer lives. If we care about the lost of this world, we must pray in our own devotions, in our services, in our church prayer meeting, that God will raise up men and women and boys and girls who are able to lead others to Christ. The people around them. People who are able to lead faithful churches in the future. Able to take the gospel to the nations of the world. A great thing to pray, wouldn't it, for the explorer's time away. God will be raising up children who can lead others to Christ. Great thing to pray for our youth growth groups, our growth groups. The Lord would be raising up workers who are so needed in his harvest. It's one of the things that we pray for in our monthly St. Mary's evening, our church prayer meeting. And we often say it's the most important meeting of the month. And I don't think anyone believes us. But it is. Because mission starts with prayer. Great response to this would be to resolve to put those prayer meetings in our diaries and to pray in our own devotions that God would raise up workers for his harvest field. Mission flows from the compassion of Jesus. Starts with prayer that God would raise up workers. And then third, mission continues with being sent by Jesus to proclaim his kingdom. Sometimes in the Christian life, we find that we are the answer to our own prayers. God has a sense of humor like that. And it's what happened to the disciples. There they were praying for God to send out workers. And in start of chapter 10, Jesus sends them out as workers. And all through chapter 10, we see Jesus' instructions for them as they go out. And we're kind of looking at the first part of the instructions today. And then in the next 2 weeks, we'll see the rest. Now, you probably noticed in the reading, there's much here which is specific to this particular mission for these particular people, the 12 apostles. Really, it was a training mission for the apostles, getting them ready for the mission that Jesus gives all his people at the end of the gospel, to take the gospel to all nations. So did you notice, for example, in verses 5 and 6, they were told to go just to the people of Israel on this training mission. But now we are to go to the people of all nations. Also in verse 1, Jesus gave the 12 the authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. In verse 8, we see again, they were given power to heal those who are ill and even to raise the dead. See, Jesus uniquely gave those 12 apostles the very same power that he had. Those 12 apostles were like an extension of Jesus, doing everything that he had been doing. I think that's why Matthew names them explicitly as Jesus' representative. They had this unique ministry and powers which are not promised elsewhere to all of God's people. And there's much which is specific to their mission at that time, but also much that we can learn for our mission. Because all of Jesus' people have been sent out by him to proclaim his kingdom. And one principle we learn is that we do this in word and deed. Look at verse 7. Jesus said to the apostles, "As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the glorious message that they announced. It is now possible to enter into God's kingdom. God's king has come. You can turn to him and come under God's loving rule again. And in our mission, we must use words. We should be ready to speak of the relationship we have with Jesus, to describe how we got to know him. We should be ready to answer people's questions as best we can, to explain who Jesus is and why he came. So we can bring people to church or to shift, to hear the message of the kingdom. And we can also open up the Bible ourselves to show them. The mission, we must use words. But look also at verse 8. Jesus said, "Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." These apostles showed the power of the kingdom which they spoke of. Now we can pray for people to be healed. And we have over the years in our church seen some wonderful answers to prayer for healing. But we can't promise it. We're not apostles. And it's when Jesus comes again that at last all sickness and suffering will be at an end. But we can show the power of God's kingdom in our changed lives. As people see a stubborn and selfish man becoming little by little less stubborn and less selfish, they're seeing something of the power of God's kingdom. As people see our community and such a variety of people really loving one another from the heart, they're seeing something of the power of God's kingdom. It's why it's so great to bring inquirers to church with us, so that they hear the message and see God's power at work in our community. Someone has said that deeds and words are like the two blades of a scissor. If you just have words on its own, it lacks authenticity. If you just have deeds on their own, people won't understand that it is through Jesus that we enter God's kingdom. But when you have deeds and words together, well, now people can hear the message of the kingdom and see its power. We proclaim the kingdom in word and deed. There's another principle we learn from the apostles' training mission. We do this depending on God. Have a look at verse 9 and 10. Jesus said to them, "Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff, for the worker is worth his keep." See, Jesus told the apostles not to take any money with them or any spare clothing. And the reason is they were working for God and they needed to trust God to meet their needs. In a way, Jesus made it harder for them by telling them not to take those provisions, because he wanted them to learn to depend on God in their mission. And of course, we need to learn the same lesson in mission, not depending on our own resources, but on God for whom we're working. If a church is financially comfortable, it's not necessarily spiritually healthy. As it is when we're financially tightly stretched, that's good. Causes us as a church to depend on God to meet our needs. The principle applies not just to our finances, but to all of our needs. Perhaps when it comes to mission, you feel weak. You feel, "I don't really have the words to say, the experience of how to answer people's questions, or the skills to make Jesus known." It's actually good to feel weak if it causes us to depend on God. Jesus kept the apostles weak, said that they would depend on him. Remember, as we saw last week, it's the Holy Spirit who gives us words and courage and opportunities. And it's the Spirit who opens people's hearts. Jesus has sent us out to proclaim his kingdom in word and deed, depending on God, not on ourselves. And then finally for today, expecting a divided response. Do you notice that in verses 11 to 15? Jesus warns his apostles. There will be some who will welcome them and receive them and who will listen to their message. But he tells them there will be others who will not. So look at verse 14, for example. Jesus said to them, "If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet." Now, in those days, if a pious Jew had been traveling outside the promised land in pagan territory, when he returned home, he would shake the dust off his feet to show that he was going from those who weren't God's people back to God's people. That means that the apostles shaking the dust off their feet as they left the house that rejected their message. So really vivid warning. If you reject the message of Jesus, you're ruling yourself out of God's people. And verse 15 is so sobering. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town." I mean, you remember the people of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament. They were guilty of murder and of rape. Jesus says there's something worse in God's eyes, even than murder and rape. That is hearing the message of Jesus and yet rejecting him as our Savior and King. It's very striking that a passage which begins with the compassion of Christ ends with Jesus' warning of judgment. And of course, those two things belong together. The reason for Jesus' compassion, so he can see people heading for God's judgment. And he knows that he's the good shepherd who laid down his life for them and who can save them from that fate. Well, like the apostles, whenever we engage in Jesus' mission, we must expect a divided response. Even this evening, as we hear these words of Jesus, each of us will either be receiving his words and being transformed by them, or rejecting his words and increasing our guilt before God. In the same way, when we speak of Jesus out in the world, there will be those who trust in him and enter his kingdom forever. And there will also be those who reject him. And it's not a sign that things have gone wrong. Actually, the reason why, as Jesus' messengers, we must ask God to give us resilience and perseverance. And remember that our job is to please the one who sent us, and not to please people. Well, I think the story of Jim Elliot and of his wife Elizabeth and the gospel reaching the Orcas is very inspiring. And we are inspired by it. And yet we all find it hard to be active in sharing the message of Jesus with those around us. And so we must remember, mission flows from the compassion of Jesus. It's when we delight in Jesus' compassion for us. Remember his compassion for those around us who are harassed and helpless, lost without him, that his compassion comes into our hearts. We must remember that mission starts with prayer, that God would raise up workers for the harvest field. Now, that's something we could all do if we're Christians. Let's be praying for all of the groups in our church. Lord, in this group, raise up people who will be able to lead others to Christ and take your gospel to the ends of the earth. And we've seen that mission continues with Jesus sending us out to proclaim his kingdom. That's the job he's given us, to our families, to our friends, to our schoolmates, to our colleagues, to the nations of the world. And we do this in word and deed, and depending on God in our weakness, and with great perseverance, because he's told us what to expect. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your compassion for us, your compassion for those who do not know you, who are harassed and helpless, and who need you so desperately. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would work your compassion into our hearts. And please teach us to be those who pray, that God would raise up workers for his harvest fields, and to be those who are active in proclaiming your kingdom. Pray that you would give each of us who know you opportunities, even this week, to proclaim your kingdom in word and deed. Amen.